First of all, good afternoon. I am so thankful again for being here in this meeting. I tell you, this is a new experience for me, and the size of the people that I've seen, and all these young people, and all these babies, it just makes my heart joy. I appreciate that. And I want to thank God for the spirit of the meeting. I feel very, very welcomed here. Y'all never seen this body of me. You might have heard of me, but I've seen a lot of people that offspring from the older saints that I grew up with, and they're offspring, so they've made me feel very, very welcome. I appreciate that. I appreciate all that I've heard since I've been here. And everything to me had been so on time, precious. And I'm a country boy. I know what cows are. You know how them cows go out there and graze, and they get under the shade tree, and they lay down, and they say, "Whoop." That's what I'll be doing on my way back home, I guess, for a while. It's good to them, so it's going to be good to me. And you know, a lot of time when you hear things, you don't actually get everything until you get the notes that you take. Then you go over them again, and then you get the little nuggets out. And that's what I enjoy doing. And I have made up my mind: do I want to go back on a train or do I go back on a plane? But whatever, if I go back on a train, I'm gonna have a lot of time to chew my cud. First of all, I thank God for salvation. You know, and I thank God for the church of God. You know, sometimes I feel there's a feeling maybe I've seen. I was a pastor for 28 years, so this is not my first time in the ballpark. And I've had some beautiful congregations of young people and babies, I guess, you know, I'm so crazy about them. And I'm a great-grandfather, so that makes me the double crazy, I guess. But I just appreciate them. And the thing I'm saying is, I've seen so many times when people do it over the years. See, I got saved at the age of 23, so I'm 90 years old now, so you can tell how far I can't figure this out in my mind right now, how long I've been on the battlefield. But I have enjoyed my journey, and this has never been for-granted experience with me. You know, sometimes people get so used to things, and they don't, I still feel very lively about it. There's still a zeal in this old body. I'm just like, somebody said, quote to me today about, was it Joshua, 85, he said, "Give me that mountain." I might not want to get that big mountain, but I still want a mountain. And I appreciate God. He's been so good to me. I feel like I'd be amiss if I didn't give him thanks and live a life of thankfulness and gratitude. And my enthusiasm, I guess, I tell my children, I still enjoy being around my grandchildren and young people. And it's just, I get, they are, they power boost me. And I just encourage them to be around them again, you know. And I just appreciate God's blessing unto me. I'm not going to go into no war stories. I've all heard that before and left. But I feel so obligated. I feel like my life has been spared for a reason. And I'm thankful that God can still bless us old folks, that we can bear fruit in our old age. And I want to straighten out something. I know you all know, I've told you that I ride a recumbent bike, and I do maybe 150 miles a week or more. But it's not because I am strong that I do it. I don't want to get the cart before the horse, if you all know what I'm saying. My reason for doing that is because God has blessed me, and that's my form of giving him thanks for what he gave me. Have y'all ever I don't know if y'all, yeah, you've got some mocking birds out here, right? You ever seen a mocking bird start singing and all of a sudden he just jump up and start saying, that's the way I feel every morning. I am so happy that God has given me life, and I've had some challenges, and all my health challenges started after I got 83. It didn't look like I was about to fall apart, but God has been so good to me. And he's extended my life through some really hard places. And I am so grateful. Now, I don't want to take this life that he gave me for granted. I was blessed to be married to the same lady for 65 years. I had my ups and downs, but I never took that lady for granted. I still, the thing that I used to catch her with, I want to encourage you young men to do the same thing. She loved flowers. I never forgot her birthday. I could forget mine sometimes. I had to be reminded, I think, of this year. My birthday went by. It was 2 days before it's my birthday. You know, you get so many of them, you get used to them. But I never took my wife for granted. I always did things to let her know that I still care for her. And she was sick the last, since 2006 on. She was not able to do it, and my doctor, primary caregiver, he told me I couldn't take care of her anymore because I lost weight and I wasn't able to lift her up when she fell. We boohooed and we succumbed. But you know what I did? I always made it a practice to visit her until she passed. I wanted her to know that she was still cared for. And a lot of times she would embarrass me talking about how much. And I'd like to give compliments, but I have a problem taking them, I guess. But anyway, I want to say this. You know, I thank God. I told you about the recumbent bike. I don't take granted for that. I want us to look at Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. Would you read for me, Sister Kim? May I borrow your wife's voice, Brother Daryl? And my wife used to be there with me when I preach, and I'd have her as my pacer, because sometimes I get so excited, I go too fast, and I'll kind of rumble on or something like that. So on purpose, I try to kind of slow down. And if you say, Brother Round, you're going a little bit fast, I'm not going to hate you if you say, Brother Round, slow down a little bit. You have that. I'll start the first. I want to read the first 4 verses.
Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments.
Yes.
For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
Yes.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart.
Okay. So that is shall. So wonderful. You know, I read that scripture many times over the years, but in the last year or so, I reread it and it had a different meaning to me. First of all, he said, my son. And somebody made a message about, Brother Dale, talking about how the relationship that we as fathers have with our children. And they're dear to us. I just love them. When I had my first daughter, man, I couldn't hardly wait to get off of work so I could get home and get on the floor with her. And she still remembers that, and I remember it too very clearly. I mean, after I told her. But anyway, the address says, my son. That means there's a connection between you and God. My son. He said, remember my commandments. Well, first of all, you got to know what his commandments are, to remember them. So he tells us that we should read our Bibles.
Right.
Anything you do, if you don't get the information, how can you perform it? And I retired as a vocational instructor at Folsom Prison, and I found out you have to have the information in order to function. And if you don't know it, how can you remember it? You got the information, And the scripture, let me see, can I find? I hope I didn't get mine all mixed up with other people's. I've been taking so many beautiful notes and things from other people's messages. But in order for us to remember God's Son, you got to have a knowledge of that. So first of all, I told you I was in combat, and I made God a vow that he would save me, that I would live for him. And two or three weeks after I got home, I thought I was going to have a grand old time, because I'm 21 now, I can go where I want to, you know, all them things. But they went by the wayside. And I was so happy to be saved. I didn't have a Bible when I got out of service. I got this great big, you ever seen these great big old Bible, family Bibles? About 3 inches thick? The man came by between the time I got saved and I went to a service for Sunday. I wagged that Bible all the way to church. Bakersfield is not very cold. It was pretty warm. And that was what I had. But I was so, it just like opening up something new I'd never seen before. And I've been raised around the saints. My grandfather used to take me to church when I was a little bitty guy. But see, being connected with your saved parent or your saved grandfather don't save you.
That's right.
So if you don't get connected, you don't see the value of it. And you don't retain that. So when you open up your book, everything is new. But when you get saved with that new heart and a new spirit, you get hungry for it. And every time I opened my book, there was a new adventure for me. You know, I just got excited, you know. And I made it a habit to reading my book. My mother, when I was small, she used to get the family book again. And when it rained like it did the other day in Oklahoma, she would get there and she'd have this trunk. Great big old, you ever seen these trunks at the end of your bed? She had the Bible in there, and she'd get in the floor, and we'd have cut up apples and stuff like that, and she'd read stories, and we had these big, it was just enjoyable. So now I got my own Bible, and I'm excited now because it looked like everything I knew, read is new to me. Anybody ever had that experience? And God would just look like he would just open up and he didn't open a big, he just opened a little bit. Just when somebody said, what do you call those things? When you get ready to eat, what they bring you? Appetizers. I appreciate that too. Everything was so beautiful to me. I could identify with it all. But he would just give me little nuggets. And then when I get to church, Brother Chandler was my pastor when I got saved in Bakersfield. And there had several minutes there, but every time I get there, I didn't sit in the back no more like I did when I was a teenager. I made make sure that I could be there to hear what he was saying. And never got sleepy after that. Man, I'm telling you, it was just exciting. And in order for me to remember that, I had to put something in your mind, you know. That's what you do. I got as far as AE and college, and I got a job with the state. I had some mixed things. But anyway, I found out the more information you have, the better you're able to do your job. And I'm also a certified firefighter. I got that training. So what you do, you study, but you keep repeating what you saw. So when things come, you have an automatic response to whatever it is. That is in your things that you are tested by, things you are tempted by. You got a toolbox. You got a weapon to use. And that's when you say, my son, remember my commandments. But he didn't stop there, did he? He said, and keep them.
Yes.
You know, I saw this all this filled up, and I thought about when I was in the military, you had squads, platoons, companies, platoons, and then you had a battalion. And but I was 24th Regiment, and that regiment was about the size of this room was. And I thought about all the men. You know, when you take basic training, you got all these young men out there training in large groups, and if they want you to learn to do something, they tell you they have somebody to demonstrate it. They say, execute. Where is that Vietnam veteran? He knew what I'm talking about. You stand up, that one man stand up there and show you how to do it. Then you practice that. So if you want to learn how to overcome, God give you guidance in that, and you got to keep repeating that. That's your weapon. And I got a chance to experience that. My son, remember my commandments and keep them. And he didn't stop that either, did he? But he said there is a promise. And that's what I said. I don't want to get this riding the trike all these hundred and some miles before the cart. I ride them because God gave me extension of life, and he gave me, read the other part of that, he gave you long days, oh, and joy.
For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
And peace. If you have ever experienced 24/7 for weeks and days on days and weeks on month of just chaos, things, you'll appreciate peace. You'll appreciate quietness. So that peace he give me, and the peace that God give me far exceeds any peace that I've ever experienced in this world. Did we have a song that said, peace, peace, glorious peace? Yes. Now, like tranquil waters flow, does it say that? Streaming down over my heart. Yes. And that's what I get up with the joy. I've been doing that for a long time, though. This is not my first time that I've expressed. I get up with a great joy of life, because my life was on the line for months and months on end. And I just appreciate being able to get up and go and enjoy health. I'm 90 years old, but I am really in reasonable health. I do have a problem with some of my injuries. Do you all see me get on my knees this time for prayer? I wasn't able to do that earlier. Without pain, because the bench is so low, you know. And I can't, if I get up, get down, somebody might have to come get me up. But I was able to get up without any pain. And I appreciate that. But the riding of the trika is an answer to what God has given me. And that's my way of showing him how appreciated I am of that. So I get a chance to do this. And it's also, too, Moses had a staff to use to get the attention of the, that's what I do. I get on my trike and people ask me about these things. I say, this is why I love my Savior. So it gave me a tool to open up conversation. And I'd meet, now I always get up every morning and pray, God, give me somebody that I can share my, and I've gotten people come up for me, young men and women, and I've got a chance to say, to get God first. See God for, I don't know, how many fishermen's in here? Anybody like to fish? If you're going to fish for a certain water, do you go just any water? You don't do that. You fish for a specific fish, you go to that where that fish is. I said, don't go out there to no place and expect to find you a wife or a husband in some of these places that don't have the kind of fish you want to get. That's what I told them. My wife was very active in church when I met her. I was too. First of all, I got engaged when I got in the military and found out that's not going to work. So I disengaged myself from that because I know that she didn't fit. So, and we were married for 65 years. I just appreciate that. But he said, God said, remember my commandments and keep them. It's the scripture says, if you know these things, what do you say? Happy are you if you do them. I had one minister tell me, he said, it's a put on. I don't think he ever I don't think he ever enjoyed the peace and the happiness God gave. Because you see, you know, this is something that flows from within. And I said, if I do that, I'll be denying God. And I'm going to tell you, it's been a beautiful, beautiful ride to me. Read on beyond the scripture where it says he'll give you length of days and joy. Was that the second verse?
For the length of days and long life and peace,
yes,
shall they add to thee.
Yes.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck.
That's another thing. God gave me a heart of tenderness. You know, before I went into service, I was not a very lovely person. I was threatened to take another saint's son's life. He was a bully. And just mean, I didn't have no brothers to back him up like these Eck brothers. They got a bunch of them, you know. You don't mess with people with big families. Just me by myself. And this Saints was older than I was, and he picked on me, and he made me mad. And I went home and got my uncle's rifle right here in Oklahoma. It was in Oklahoma. No, in Bakersfield, I'm sorry. I was 18 years old, and I laid in a prone position because I was in the cadets when I went to the high school. I laid in a prone position in ambush, and God never let him come through that door. I was so happy. And that was a bad side of it, but I got saved. Years later, he got saved. And I was one of the last people we prayed together before he passed. But I was not a nice person. I want y'all to know that. I'm telling you what God can give you. Give you a new heart. And a new spirit, he don't force you to do anything, but there is something that calls you to walk in his way. And I just wanted to know more, and you grow in this. And you learn how to be merciful because God was merciful unto you. And I guess before I got saved, I had a best friend. And you know how these birds put nests there, and they hatch, and little birds sing. And he got the bird and stumped him by the head. That's the worst fight I ever had in my life with my best friend. Because people is more persons that to me now. And when I see somebody being dismissed, I mean, what do you call it? Yeah, you picking on them, that touches me. And another thing, too, I'm always for the underdog. My family was always a hospital family. I learned that, but God, he added to that after I got that saved. I thought, you know, and I always think about it. He says, God says he sent his only begotten son for all of us. He died for the world. I approach every soul, regardless of how he's wrapped, as a soul that Jesus died for. And he's precious. I do a lot of driving, riding, but I see a lot of military people, other people that are destitute. I've gone and got a ride and stopped for lunch. And if I spend $15 for a lunch, I see somebody, I'll get him the same thing. Because I want him to eat the same way I do. I know one time I passed somebody, and this lady was laying, it's a river that runs through our city, and we have this place where they have seafood, and I love seafood. And this lady was laying on a slab of cement. I passed her, but I had to go back. And I've seen her there before, other days, you know. But she, you know how people get, they look like they lose hope. Yes. You know, and I said, that could have been me. Yes. And my heart would not let me go by there. So that compassionate thing that God put in my heart made me go back to her. I gave her five and thought I felt pretty good, and I turned around, but I had to go back again. What can you buy with $5? Not in California. You're right. By the time you get a nice juicy cheeseburger, fries, and a drink, you're talking about $14 or $15 right there, see? So I went back and gave her $20. I'm just telling you what God make you step out of your comfort zone. He don't want you to be stingy. He never been stingy to me. And I want them to enjoy the same thing I do. And I do that on purpose. Sometimes I do that to strike up a conversation. The young man was saved. His wife was saved. God took his wife in death, and he's out in the park mad at God. And he looked like he pointed me to him. I got a chance to minister to him and have prayer with him. So I am not in the pulpit at home that much. When he leave, I'll take his place. But my thing is, he still gave me a way to minister to people outside. We're not the only people that need salvation. He want the world to hear it. He says, God has given me the Spirit, and I want the world to hear it. So that's what he's given me, another avenue of serving. And I appreciate it. And I thought I was going to, he come and I'm going to be free to just do what I want to do. Another thing he did for me, I got in a retirement home where I don't do no housekeeping no more. If I don't, like housekeeping, three meals, big, beautiful dining room, and laundry. They do that. And I'm free. I just ride, get in and go and come back. But I had a chance to become a Bible study director there. So when we get through at service on Sundays, sometimes I like to go have lunch with my brothers and sisters. But I have to get there because it starts at 2:30. And I am just so delighted. And to be still being used. Us old folks can still bear fruit in our old age. And God knows my... I always said, God, let me I don't, just put a broom in my hand, whatever it is, I'm willing to do that. So God has been good. And start reading again on the third verse?
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee.
Yeah.
Bind them about thy neck.
Why would he say bind them around your neck? Is it because we have to be reminded all the time? Is that the reason why, you think? He want them there. The Old Testament people, they had, was that those things that said put them on your... Yeah. But God puts them on the table of our hearts today. Isn't that wonderful? You might not know the whole verse, but you get the principle of it. And that's another thing. If you read your Bible, you'll find out those things that God impressed you with, you'll find out scripture to support it. That is wonderful. That's why reading the Bible, it will never get old to me. Today, even last night, I got a chance to look at something, and I saw something new in it again. And that just excites me. But my point is that if the script says that to the young people, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. I visited my granddaughter in Houston, Texas a few days ago. She's 27, she got her master's, and I had an impression to sit down and talk to her. And she's got all of this, she's just married, she got this sad look on her face. I'm bored. Bored? After all that, I said, Grandma ain't never been bored. You know why? Because I always put God first. He always give me something. Before I got married, I used to drive the old ministers around to visit the sick and go to meetings. So I have never been bored. I don't, being around in that atmosphere of some military and combat, you will appreciate being bored. You don't want no excitement. Somebody said, man, I got to go into a city where there's a lot of, I don't need no more excitement. I had mine up front. I just love this peace and joy. So, and not only that, it's the peace that God gives that surpasses all understanding. I think I told you all the other night, I lost my wife. I lost my junior. He was a junior. He was 58. He was an officer in the jail, and he died of a heart attack responding to an emergency, and he got lost, and then nobody found him. He was in the room. And I lost my grandson the same year. And my wife got terribly sick and church problems. And I said, you know what? I got a right to feel sorry for myself. I thought I earned that. God wouldn't even let me go there. I am his child. You see, he cares. He cares for me, so what? Tenderly. He would even let me visit there. And we got a sister down there, Sister Maxine. She said the same thing. She had some real tragedies in her life. But it's so wonderful. God can carry you through all those things. And I always, that scripture says, the grace of God that brings salvation. Yes. I've always wondered what was in that. If you're making a cake, you want to know what the ingredients are. I have not found out what the ingredients are, but I know I'm enjoying this ride. Yes. I don't have to know all those things. I found that to be so, that those hard places in my life that I don't have no answer to, all I've learned how to do is just let go and let God. And he has always brought me through. One time, I was having problems, and somebody told me, you need to speak up for yourself. But God told me, he says, stand still, which means shut up, and see the salvation of God. And I did. And he gave me a common sense. That's the main thing. If he tell you stand still, you don't go and want to, I need to share this. What do you think? No, God already told you the answer. Stand still. Is that hard to understand? He means to shut up and don't seek no allies for your misery. Just shut up. Keep it between you and him. And then God can give you peace, and that same person can be in your presence, and God give you perfect peace. If that person call on you to do anything, you'll do it in a hot minute. And I've done it. God proves himself to me, and he wants us to be able to prove that to other people that don't know anything about him. That's why he allows us to go through these things. I don't have no long message. I just want y'all to know why I do what I'm doing. I don't have the cart before the horse. I enjoy doing the thing I'm doing because what God has did for me. And I get up every morning with a desire. I walk through the dining room. We got our dining room, we got a hexagon frame. It's laid out beautiful, beautiful place, you know. And sometimes I eat there, but sometimes they are late in getting there, so I just march right on through, get on my bike and ride up while it's nice and cool. And God always got somebody at the end of my journey or along that journey for me to talk to. And I know people, a lot of GIs have the same privilege of getting some of the same benefits that I have, but if you don't, the benefits that God have for you, if you don't put them in front of you, you'll never get them. That's another thing I thought about during these messages. God got all these things and benefits for you, but you are the one who have to put in for them. And then you got to believe he's going to do it for you. There's a lot of times we do things that are not convenient. I know ministers do that a lot, don't we? You don't go and do something because it's convenient to do. God don't call you to do things when he do at the inconvenient times to do it. So I've learned how to put God first in all my life. When I was going to college, they had a meeting in another place. And I was taking journalism, and I told the instructor, I said, well, I'm going to be gone for 5 days? They had more than that, but I had to get back. But I said, and I will continue my course when I get back. I went, and you know my grades did not suffer. In fact, they were better. You cannot do what God wants if you put him first. I tell my granddaughter the same way. I say, you mean why you said, because it's all you've done is for self. You need to learn how to get out and serve other people. Another lesson God taught me. You know, I tell you, I was a pastor. I always was the first there. I did a lot of things that the pastor, working pastor, roll up his sleeve. And whatever to be done, he'd do it, get it done, you know. But anyway, and I was always, now serving my wife, she started having problems in 2005, actually. And I took over the whole thing of cooking and doing all those different things. And you know, sometimes you do it so long, you say, man, when am I getting my turn? Somebody gonna serve me? You gotta be careful what you ask. God put you flat on your back and said, then you'll appreciate being up to serve. So I know my position in God's kingdom. I am a servant. Amen. And I do it with great joy, no greater joy than I have than serving others. And Brother Darrell and them came down to Sacramento and started doing some beautiful work around there. And some of the older saints, they know I've been faithful. Well, see, Brother Ralph, maybe you ought to cut back on doing something. And I say, I got to do something. And my daughter said, y'all need to leave my daddy alone, because he know exactly how much he can do. And he got enough sense to know when to quit. So I go down maybe and keep the yard up, work a couple of hours, get out of heat, and go back and have me a nice meal, and I am fresh. And I feel like I've done something. I made God a promise I was going to serve him, so he gave me a place to serve him. He didn't tell me all those things would be included, but since he saved my life, I owe him all, and so I do it without questioning. I do it with joy. So I just want to again express how happy I am, and I just want you to know that I don't ride the bike to gain strength, but I ride bike because the strength is given me first. And I'm just showing God how much I appreciate life, how I appreciate the peace that he gave me. And I just want to, that's the way I give him praise and give him a chance, give me a chance to share what God can do for other people. And he helps me to be the example. Execute, like I was telling about this guy on. He want me to show them that this really works. I want to prove it. And just, y'all keep praying for me. And if God spare me, maybe you'll see me another year. I don't know. Y'all keep praying for me.